At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Today's the last day of the public input period on a proposed $15 billion high-speed rail line between Dallas and Houston. Texas Central Partners hopes to break ground on the project next year. Cities like Dallas and Houston support the project, but the plan's not popular with many landowners and leaders in the eight rural counties along the route. Sheriffs from those counties last week held a news conference to introduce their coalition and to voice concerns about the bullet train. When the public comment period closes, the Federal Railroad Administration will look into concerns from the public and include all the comments in a final environmental impact statement. Steel pipe has been blamed in part for gas leaks in northwest Dallas last month and the house explosion there that killed a 12-year-old girl. Atmos Energy in the past has declined to say how many miles of steel pipe still exist because of security concerns. But according to documents obtained by WFAA-TV, more than 400 miles of those pipes are still running under the city as of last June. State regulators in 2011 issued a safety rule that required all natural gas distribution companies in Texas to survey pipeline distribution systems and make plans to take care of potential threats. Nearly 3,000 homes in northwest Dallas are now out of gas service while Atmos crews replace gas lines and meters. However, a letter from Atmos officials said they plan to remove all cast iron pipes in Dallas by the end of 2023. Now to our Friday conversation. Tuesday's primary election sparked a surge of voters, which is unusual in a non-presidential election year. To make sense of a wild political week in Texas, KERA's Rick Holter talked to Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune in Austin.
Let's start with turnout. There was so much hype about an anti-Trump blue wave. Twice as many Democrats as 4 years ago voted. But there was a red wave that was just as big. What's behind that?
Well, you know, there's a red seawall in Texas. You know, it's been a Republican state for a long time. The Republicans for the last several cycles have outvoted the Democrats. During early voting this year, Democratic voting was up a lot. So that's where the blue wave conversation began. But they were still only about 40% of the size of the Republican primary. It's been a long time since the Democrats won a statewide election in Texas, though. And they're looking for signs and wanting to show signs to people of some kind of strength or some kind of resurgence. They have some excitement around their Senate candidate, Beto O'Rourke. They don't have a lot of excitement around other people on the statewide ticket, which is part of the reason the turnout wasn't up more and part of the problem the Democrats are going to have going into November.
What surprised you most about Tuesday?
You know, incumbents were incredibly strong. For all the money spent, there was not that much change. Only seven state officials who were on the ballot, this is 200 races, lost their seats. So for the most part, incumbents held their ground. The other thing that was really notable about this election was the success of female candidates. In the entire history of the state of Texas, we've only had 155 women in the Texas House and the Texas Senate. We've had 5,400 men. And there's some signs that some of that's beginning to turn. There were more women on the ballot to begin with, and more of them won or got into runoffs and could be on the November ballot.
Let's talk a little bit about Congress. District 32 in North Texas, that's where Pete Sessions is the incumbent. He won easily. But there was a little bit of jockeying and surprise on the other side. Four pretty strong candidates, but the guy who had the most money lost. The guy Brett Shipp, who made his name on TV, lost. Did that surprise you?
Not really. In a low turnout election, what it really comes down to is who has the kind of business operation around their campaign to actually get voters to the polls to pull the lever for them. And that's what wins elections. Doesn't matter how much money you spend, it's how you spend it. It's how you can get the voters out. The interesting thing in that district going forward is going to be this is one of three districts in Texas where a Republican incumbent is representing a district that Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in.
Right. Seems pretty clear that one of the winners Tuesday was Dan Patrick. I mean, he won his race, the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor, but more importantly was the kind of down ballot effect for him.
He won all of the races he was obviously playing in. He won in an endorsement against an incumbent Republican named Craig Estes, whose district starts in Wichita Falls and goes all the way over to Collin County.
Right.
And he was instrumental in getting Bob Hall out of a very tough primary with Cindy Burkett just east of Dallas.
Jason Viaba in Dallas is another interesting case, somebody who before the last presidential election was virulently anti-Trump. After Trump got the nomination, was virulently pro-Trump, kind of bit him a little bit.
Yeah, it did. He's in one of those districts where the Democrats have a reasonable chance of beating a Republican, and that tends to get a moderate Republican elected. You elect a Republican who can get past the Democratic voters in November. Mm-hmm. When that kind of Republican comes to Austin, they run into arch conservatives who don't think they're Republican enough. So you end up, if you're a Jason Viaba or a Sarah Davis in Houston, with trouble in your own primary where more conservative Republicans run against you, and then trouble in November when the Democrats run against you in a district that could swing either way. So Lisa Luby Ryan wins this race running to the right of Jason Viaba. She has a very tough November ahead of her in a district that can elect either a Republican or a Democrat.
When the runoffs come May 22nd, what's the one race you're going to be watching?
You know, the big race at the top of this is the governor's race on the Democratic side. They're trying to figure out who their nominee is going to be, whether it's going to be Lupe Valdez or Andrew White. They're both Democrats, but, you know, this is that kind of Democrat and this is the other kind of Democrat. And those are really two different races. Greg Abbott against Lupe Valdez is, you know, a particular kind of race. Greg Abbott and Andrew White is another kind of race. There are a number of things that we're watching as you go down the ballot. We had 8 open seats in our 36-member congressional delegation, and a lot of those went to runoffs. A lot of those attracted astonishing number of candidates. In the 21st congressional district, there were 18 Republicans.
Right.
So it looked like the adult choir at church or something. But you're down to 2 now, and then that's where we lock in what November looks like.
Ross Ramsey, executive editor of the Texas Tribune. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Look for partly sunny skies through the day with a high near 71. There's a 20% chance of rain, though, tonight and tomorrow. Overnight low around 61. 53 degrees now in Dallas, 55 in Fort Worth.